Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Is motivation overrated? How do high achievers really get going? Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Cruz. Welcome to the LeadX Show, where, of course, we're helping you to stand out and to get ahead. Now, quick question. Have you checked out the LeadX Academy, our online learning library jam-packed with educational videos all at your own pace? Watch them on your iPad, watch them on your smartphone, watch them from your desktop so that you can double your productivity, become a great boss, improve your communication skills. Heck, we'll even help you to build your personal brand and so much more. Check it out. It's completely free for 3 days. And then it's only $7 a month, but probably by the time you listen to this in the future, it will have gone up because it's like our pre-launch price. I often say it's like the price of a smoothie, which I think someone should just like buy me a smoothie once a month or a lot of smoothies, and then I'll just give you access to that. Check it out, leadx.org. Our quote of the day, desire is the key to motivation, but it's determination and commitment to an unrelenting pursuit of your goal, a commitment to excellence that will enable you to attain the success you seek. That's from Mario Andretti. Our guest today is an Inc.com contributing editor, keynote speaker, LinkedIn influencer, and author. His new book is The Motivation Myth, How High Achievers Really Set Themselves Up to Win. Our guest is Jeff Hayden. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kevin, my favorite employee engagement guru. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we are going to have some fun chatting about your new book in just a second, but I actually always, I always start with the same first question around failure, because I believe failures are stepping stones. We learn from our failures. So I want to be selfish. I want to learn from one of your failures. You got something you can share with us?
Wow. Jeez. One from column A or one from column B? All right, here, I'll give you a really dumb one. All this right. is an embarrassing one. I was working for a Fortune 500 company. I was in a supervisory position in a certain department, really liked my job. There was an opening in another department, and they were interested in me going to that department. It was a lateral move. So I was half interested, half not. Had to be interviewed, though, by some of the employees in the department, which seemed a little odd to me, but that's okay. And time got away from me that day. I'd gotten tied up in a couple problems, hadn't had a chance to eat lunch. It's 2 o'clock. So I went to this interview and I apologize, but I ate my lunch during the interview. So now guess whether I got the job.
Guess you didn't get that job.
No, I didn't. And so what I learned from that, while it seems like an obvious lesson that, hey, you don't eat your lunch at interviews, what I actually learned was that if I wasn't really interested in the job, I shouldn't have even done it in the first place. And if I was only going to go and kind of just sort of half-ass it and, you know, eat my lunch, and my attitude was kind of, if you want me, you want me, and you don't, you don't.
Right.
And that was the wrong way to go. And so every time I get ready to put less than my best foot forward, oddly enough, I think back to that and think, okay, do you want to do this or not? And if you do, you owe it your best, and you owe the people that you are going to talk to or deal with, you owe them your best as well. And if you can't do that, then don't go do it.
Yeah, I love that. It's like, it's a lot more, it means a lot more than just whether you bring a sandwich or not, right? It's like, if you care about it, don't bring the sandwich or something.
Yeah, the sandwich was the symptom.
Exactly.
There was a much larger ego problem there.
So, Jeff, I mentioned already, your new book is The Motivation Myth, How High Achievers Really Set Themselves Up to Win. So let's just start, like, what's the big idea of your book?
Both you and I are both in a similar position in that we are lucky enough to get to talk to and interact with some extremely successful people. Mm-hmm. And that is a very cool thing. And so we also are in a situation where we talk to lots of people who don't feel as successful as they would like to be, or who maybe feel stuck, or who, you know, haven't achieved some of the things that they hope to achieve. And so one day it just hit me that out of all the successful people I talked to, none of them ever pointed to this one moment where they had this burst of inspiration or this lightning bolt, I like to call it, of this is my purpose, this is my passion, this is all the motivation I need to carry me on this long journey to some success that I hope to achieve. None of them had that. They all found something they were interested in. decided they wanted to get better at it and explore it, and basically found a process that allowed them to improve, to feel good about their improvement, to therefore feel some motivation to go the next day. So that whole idea of effort equals success equals gratification equals, hey, that was fun, I want to do it again tomorrow. That's how they got to where they were. The people that were stuck, all of them talked to me about, you know, I haven't had that moment. I haven't found my purpose. Right. I haven't found that motivation. And so the central theme is that motivation isn't something you have to wait for or something that you have to get from mm-hmm. somewhere. Motivation is something that you can create all on your own simply through the means of starting something and trying and giving it enough time that you improve a little bit to where you feel good about yourself, feel good about what you've done, and that gives you the motivation to keep going.
That's great. And that was, I think, you know, ties into one of my follow-up questions, because you do write about, like, how do you start when you are 0% motivated? And is it like just start and be willing to be bad for a while until you get good, or is there more to it?
You have to be interested in something. Mm-hmm. If you can't pick a goal that you have zero interest in, because that will not give you any oomph at all to get started. But let's say you've always, I don't know, let's pick a common one. Let's say you've always wanted to run a marathon.
Right.
Tons of people have that goal. That's something you're already interested in. So you have a little bit of a spark inside you.
Yeah.
You just haven't converted that into some kind of effort. So the key there is to not just kind of start and flail, but to say, okay, let me look around. And it's one of the chapters in the book is do what the pros do. Let me look around at someone who has actually accomplished what I want to do. Let's pick someone who has run a marathon. What process did they follow to get in physical shape and physical condition and all that stuff to be able to accomplish that? Deconstruct it, break it down to its essence, and then say, okay, what is the first thing I need to do? And in all likelihood, the first thing you need to do is go out today and run a mile. Let's use that as an example. You only need enough motivation to go out and run that mile. If you do that and you finish and you come home, no matter how tired you are, no matter how exhausted you may feel, if you have completed what you set out to do that day, you get to feel good about yourself.
Right.
You don't have to think about the 26. Just think about that. I did that. That's cool.
Right.
If you let yourself feel good about it, then that gives you the motivation tomorrow to go out and run the next mile that you need to run. So if you work your process and keep your head down and don't look out at that big gulf between where you are now and where you hope to be someday, and just look at what is today, then every day you get to feel good about yourself, which is really cool. And then that will let you wake up tomorrow and say, this is all I have to do. I don't have to do 26. I have to do 1.5 or whatever it may be. And if I do that, I feel good. So you do have to have something you're interested in.
Right.
You know, although I've done things just to prove the point, I've picked something that I really didn't want to do just to prove that this works. But, you know, it's probably smarter to pick something that you really want to do and just deconstruct it and do that one thing and commit to doing it for, here's the key. You have to commit to doing it for at least, say, a week and a half. Because if you go run today and you come home and you're exhausted and you go run tomorrow, that's not enough time to have really made any improvement. You can't really see your progress.
Right.
But if you go a week and a half, I guarantee you, you will see some improvement. And that will allow you to think, you know what? This is working. Like you with your podcast, the first one you did.
Oh, right.
Did you feel like you were an expert? The second one, did you feel like you were an expert? But after 5 or 10, you started to go, okay, I'm starting to get the flow here. I'm not an expert, but I'm starting to figure this out. And that probably felt really fun to you.
Yeah.
And that gives you the motivation to keep cruising.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to go back because you said something interesting. You know, you do have a chapter on this. Like you say, you don't need a coach, you need a pro. So go back to that point. Like what do you see as the difference between working with a coach versus working with a pro?
We'll use the marathon example again. Let's say you decide you want to run a marathon and you want to run a marathon and you go to your local fitness facility and you talk to the person or trainer there and you say, I want to run a marathon. They're going to do an assessment. They're going to figure out where you are. They're going to figure out what you like, what you don't like. They're going to do all this stuff. And they're going to create this program that is specially tailored to you that probably has no real chance of success. Whereas, seriously, because you've added all these qualifiers to it. If you want to accomplish something really hard, there are certain things that you have to do in order to get there. If you want to be a really good salesman, but you don't think you need to talk to people, well, you're never going to get there.
Right.
So the key is to pick someone, if at all possible, pick someone who has done the thing that you want to do, because they know what really is involved. They know what you need to do. They're not going to sugarcoat it. They're going to give you straight up, here's what you need to do. And what would you rather do? Follow a process that feels good to you but is unlikely to succeed, or follow a process that is hard but that is almost guaranteed for you to succeed? And I'll take the success side every time. So that's my point. And that's true whether it's fitness, whether it's business. If you're trying to build a business, talk to people that have actually built a business can tell you what to do. If whatever it may be, if you're going to be a speaker like you, talk to somebody that's actually spoken, you know, and what they learned, and they'll tell you what you have to do. And it will always seem harder than what you want to do. And that's a good thing. That's a really good signal, because if it's harder than what you expected, that means it's probably going to work.
Yeah. And Jeff, I think it's just as this is for the listeners out there. Like, we seem to be in a little bit of a like an internet marketing bubble right now, where everybody claims to be a coach in something, and they want for $1,000, $2,000. They're going to take your money and they'll coach you over the internet. And what surprises me is like the people who say, you know, I'm going to be your social media coach. I'm a marketing guru. I'm going to show you how to, you know, explode your Facebook likes or Instagram likes. And then you go to their own profiles and they've got, you know, 100 followers, or all the people that are going to tell you, you know, how to become multimillionaires in no money down real estate. And yet they're not multimillionaires themselves. And I know that there's a difference between like knowing how to get to the moon and then actually having walked on the moon. But still, why wouldn't you get your advice from someone who has actually gone through it, has actually done it? And in this day and age, it seems like 9 out of 10 of the coaches out there are telling people stuff that they've never done themselves.
Right. A good example of that is I decided I wanted to ride this Gran Fondo cycling. It's like 100 and some miles, 4 mountains, 11,000 feet of climbing. I had 4 months to train, and I had not ridden a bike. And so I went to a local guy that he's a mountain bike professional. He's won world championships. He's won national championships. In the mountain biking world, he's a big, big deal. Mm. And I said, I want to ride this event. If you were me, what would you do? First thing he did is laugh. Second thing he did was say, not try. And I said, no, seriously. And he said, all right, so if you're starting from where you are and you want to do that, I'll give you a plan, but you have to follow it. And if you're not following it, don't call me and tell me it's not working. And so my first day, I had to go ride for 3 hours. Oh. This is from zero. And I looked at it and I looked at him and he said, you don't have enough time to ease your way into this. Yeah. You're just going to have to go. And I thought, okay. And so we did adjust his plan a little bit along the way, but not because I wanted it to be easier. We actually found that I recover quicker between events than most people do. It doesn't make me special. It's just how I'm made. So we would actually – I would train more days per week than what he originally scheduled, which was cool.
Yeah.
And I managed to finish it. But the difference was, had I gone to someone who was not going to give me that clear-eyed, brass-tacks view of it – I would have gotten some advice. I would have worked at it. I wouldn't have gotten very far, and I would have either given up or I would not have been able to finish it.
Yeah.
So your point is right. Why would someone teach you to buy real estate on a money down thing if it's guaranteed to succeed? Why aren't they just doing it?
Yeah, right. That's right.
The people that I find that are the best coaches are the ones that have done those things for a while. And then for whatever reason, whether it's age, fitness, interest, whatever it may be, have decided, okay, I'm going to shift my focus now.
Right.
And I'm going to start, you know, I built 5 businesses and that's really fun. But now I think what I really would like to do is help other people do that. That's a cool coach.
Right.
The guy that just went to school and comes out and hangs out his shingle and has never actually done it himself, that would make me wonder. And I'm sure there are some of them out there that are great, but that's not the approach that I would take.
Yeah. And so here's a final question for you. You have an interesting section of the book. You say there's one question that provides nearly every answer.
Okay. That was based on Herb Kelleher. He's the CEO of Southwest, and he has to make, you know, zillions of decisions a day. But basically, he frames them all using the one question, which is, will this help make Southwest the low-cost provider? If it's yes, then they'll explore it. If it's no, he deletes it. So you can apply that same framework to anything you're trying to accomplish. If you want to run a marathon, we'll use my example again.
Yeah.
If you decide that, you know, I don't really feel like training today, is that what someone would do that runs marathons? No. Right. So you don't. If you're trying to lose weight, is eating 3 desserts what someone would do? No. If you're trying to build a business, Is treating a customer shabbily what you would do? No. If you pick out the underlying theme of what you're trying to accomplish and use that to layer it in, you can make all kinds of decisions really, really easily. Doesn't mean it's easy to follow through, because right. Sometimes the right thing is the hard thing, but it does make it easy to make the decision of, what should I do here? Should I do this or this? And if you boil it down that way, it does get to be really simple.
Yeah. And Jeff, I love that, because the example that you give, you know, it's like a business understanding its core, you know, brand promise, its value proposition, and then, you know, making sure you're focused on spending your time on that thing. And that's great for all the business people out there. I think this is, you know, great for, as you described, you know, all these behavior change things, you know, will sitting on this couch help me to run this marathon instead of training? No. Okay. So don't do it. And I think even in the day-to-day world of our lives, when we're so busy, it's almost like that. It's just getting clear on your priorities. There's always going to be more things to do than we have time to do. And if you can get clear on your daily, weekly, or even monthly, you know, most important goal, most important task, then you just ask that question. Is this thing that's on my calendar, or this meeting that I've been invited to, going to help me to achieve, you know, that primary goal? And if no, all right, you then try to get out of it. And I think that's a really powerful way to look at it.
One of the ways that works for me, because I'm not a confrontation kind of guy. I hate confrontations, but I used to say to myself when I was in a leadership position, there were conversations that I wanted to avoid. You know, it is not always fun to have the hard conversations with employees, but I would think, okay, but is that what a good leader would do?
Right.
Would a good leader walk past this? And I would think, no. And, you know, it ends up framing it again as the right thing to do was probably the hard thing to do, but it's the thing that feels good when you're done. Whereas that avoiding thing never feels good, and you're always stuck with lingering.
So, Jeff, how can listeners find out more about you and, of course, your new book, The Motivation Myth?
I've always wanted to say this. My book is on sale wherever books are sold.
Sounds so good, doesn't it? It's got to feel good.
Yeah, I guess so. My website's jeffhayden.com. I write for Inc. magazine. If you go to Inc. and then search my name, you'll find about 1,500 articles. And I'm on LinkedIn. I'm an influencer, which is the only time I'll ever be on the same list with Richard Branson and Bill Gates. But I engage with people there. So if you want to either connect or follow, I actually do respond. That should be plenty.
I love that, Jeff. And we'll put all the links in the show notes and, of course, in the articles that come from this. Jeff, thanks again for coming on to the LeadX show.
Thank you, Kevin. If you ever want me again, I'm there.
Awesome. LeadX family, that wraps up another episode filled with leadership advice. But before I go, I hope you remember that at LeadX, we're on a mission to give free leadership training and professional development to everyone, anywhere, at any time. Visit leadx.org to check out our free course of the day and our weekly live webinars. And for your friends and colleagues who are managers, they lead people, let them know that they can get over 30 best-in-class management training courses on demand at their own pace at leadx.org for a ridiculously low investment of $7 per month. This is our public beta pre-launch pricing, and that quadruples really soon. Check out the LeadX Academy at leadx.org. And if you're the kind of person who always says thank you, then please take 1 minute, it's actually less than a minute, and go leave a rating for the LeadX show on iTunes. Just go to leadx.org/subscribe, and it's going to bounce you to the right page on iTunes. You can just click some stars, maybe click that subscribe button. And if you have 20 more seconds, you could write a one-sentence review of the show. It's the single best way for us to build our family. And of course, because leadership is influence and we are leading all of the time, it's a question of, are you leading in a positive direction or a negative direction? I implore you to be mindful with your influence, to be mindful with your leadership. How will you lead today?